Psalm 127. And I realize we have the adults in here and the teenagers. I got saved at this church when I was a teenager. And I appreciate so much the teaching and training through the years that you folks gave to me and to my family. Of course, my brothers and sisters ended up getting saved as well, and a mom. And our whole life's been changed, literally. Utterly, completely, totally transformed. And I sure do love Jesus, and I love this place. But I'll just be honest with you, we were a dysfunctional family growing up. Not because we wanted to be, just because we didn't know any better. My mom could not have loved us children anymore. I used to tell her, "You're going to love me to death." It wasn't an issue of not being loved. But honestly, we just didn't know. And I think that's much of the world today. People just don't know. I mean, how do you have a family? How do you stay married? How do you raise children? You know, we got people, Oprah's not on anymore, so they're turning into Dr. Phil trying to figure out, you know, how this thing works. Maybe seeing an article on a magazine in the grocery aisle and saying, "Man, I could use that," and grabbing that and hoping that's going to help them. But I'll be honest with you, one of the best things I ever learned at Blessed Hope Baptist Church were the lessons about family. Family. My family was divorced growing up, my mom and dad. And I appreciate so much the example that I found for the men here at this church. I learned what real manhood was. And I learned how a husband should treat a wife and how a wife should respond to her husband. Children that actually obeyed and did what they were supposed to do. Teenagers that didn't have a bad attitude or weren't angry or ready to kill themselves or somebody else. They just loved life. They were in a good spot. This was all brand new to me. So imagine a young man walking into this place and it was so foreign. It's almost like going to a foreign country. But I'm so thankful that the Lord over time and you folks with patience and love just taught us and trained us. And I was sitting back there today in the old pew and looking at the other bus kids that had come in, and I couldn't help but just think it seems like yesterday. I've been reminded several times how old I am now. And Brother Tommy and all of his graciousness and tact and kindness. So I've got some choice words for him. Let me tell you what. No, but it seems like just yesterday, doesn't it? Those of us old folks that are over 40, life is over, just waiting to die as a 40-year-old. And it seems like just yesterday, doesn't it? And I couldn't help but look at these young people here and just think, what could God do? What could God do? And so I'm going to talk primarily to parents this morning. But I also want you young people to listen, because one of these days, if Jesus doesn't come back and if the normal progression of life happens, one of these days you're going to have children. And I benefit every single day as a parent from what I learned here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so if you'd allow me to just say a few things, I think this will help everybody, either right now today or down the road. I think this could really help. Psalm 127, let's dive right in here. And I'm just going to read the chapter, and if you'd follow along. The scripture says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but he shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Let's pray. Lord, I pray you take this simple lesson and help us as we just look at your word and try to apply some principles. Lord, we want our children to be as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. We acknowledge that our children don't belong to us, they belong to you. And we have the privilege to rear them, not for ourselves, but for a much higher purpose. I pray you'd give us wisdom from this lesson today and from all the wonderful teaching that comes from this place, and that you would help us to know how to have a good family. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to teach a simple lesson today entitled Developing a Heart for Ministry in Children. Developing a heart of ministry in children. And this will apply to you teenagers as well, because honestly, we want you to have a heart of ministry. If you think that the goal in life is to grow up and go to college and get a high-paying job and buy a big house and some property and have a tractor and maybe drive a Cadillac or a GMC or a Mercedes and wear nice clothes and go nice. I mean, if that's what your goal in life is, then I pity you. One of the saddest things about life is only rich people ever truly find out that riches don't satisfy. The rest of the world spends their life chasing a carrot that they will never catch. But those that ever do catch it say, this is it. This is all. And so we have to have wisdom to know that there's a higher purpose in life. And that is to serve the Lord. Now, when it comes to ministry, as a pastor, I decided a long time ago that if at all possible, I not only want to reach the world, I'd like to reach my wife. If I can't pastor my wife, how can I pastor somebody else's wife or somebody else? I'd like to pastor my children and try to help them. And so this idea of how do we develop a heart? How do we, if you were going to plant this spring and you have some things that you want to plant, you have a plan about how do I make this happen? What conditions are necessary? What's the condition of the soil? What time of year am I going to plant? You're taking in all the variables and saying, I want to give this seed the best chance possible to germinate and bring forth a high yield crop. Is that right? And so we need to look at life the same way. Look at the variables. Take them in. How can I have a plan? And so this is something that the Lord gave me, and these are really my goals. I do not stand before you as an expert on child rearing. The truth is there are no experts in child rearing. The truth is if you think you're an expert on child rearing, you probably don't have kids. Everybody's an expert on child rearing till they have their own kids. You know, we're teenagers and we see some kid throwing a fit in the aisle. You know, you're in the bean aisle and there's some kid over there screaming and hollering and kicking. And you're like, if that was my kid? And 10, 15 years later, you're standing in the bean aisle and your kid's like going nutso, like some demon has come into him and possessed him. And people are looking at you saying, if that was my kid, yeah, I used to be where you were, buddy. Wait till you have kids. And isn't that the truth? There are no experts. And the truth is, if you are trying to grow and learn about child rearing, children are creative. They come up with things. They try to find ways and things to make your life miserable. This is what they do. No, that's not their goal. But how many of us parents, we've ever looked at each other and said, well, I never thought of that one. Where'd that come from? That's a new one to me. Have you ever? And a parent's like, I never seen that one either. That's pretty amazing. And so there are no experts, but I think we should have goals. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What's interesting is that verse does not necessarily guarantee that if we train up our children, they are going to stay true until they're old. It's not what the verse says. It says when they are old. And here's what I believe that verse teaches in part, is that if you train up your children and you put into them everything that God wants you to or the best you can, that never leaves them. That's always in them. And so there's always an opportunity that when they get old, they can turn back to the training that they were given in youth. What a wonderful hope that is. How many parents are heartbroken because kids don't always do what they want? You know, they grow up and become adults. And they make their own choices. And sometimes not the choices we want them to make. But what a blessing that you can look at them and say, you know what, I know what they have in them. And I'm just going to pray that God will bring them back to that. You know, I found a verse years ago in Isaiah 1:2. People say, well, if you raise your kids right, they're going to turn out. Well, I think the best parent that we've ever seen is God. Here's what God said, God's testimony of in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And I thought to myself, if God himself can nourish and raise up children, and they rebel against him, we know the fault wasn't in God. But the truth is that every child grows up and has to learn to make choices for themselves. And our prayer for you young people is, our prayer for you teenagers is that you can grow up, and when you cross that line from having to do what others tell you to start making your own choices, that there will be enough good in you and you'll have enough discernment and enough wisdom to make the right choice. See, maturity is not an age, it's an attitude. I've known 35-year-olds that are still kids, never grown up. And I've known 12-year-olds that are like, wow. Like little adults. Not because they have all the experience, but because they say, I don't need mom and dad to tell me what to do. I'm going to follow their example, and I'm going to do what they tell me when nobody's looking. What a blessing. And so we hope that you would do that. So having said all that, my kids might grow up and be heathens. If they're anything like me, I pray every day my kids turn out like my wife. Every single day. Because she's a good lady. If they turn out like me, God help us all. Be making visits to death row. Who are you here for, my children? Your son, my daughter. You know. So anyway, let me just say some quick things here. I got about 20 minutes, and I'd like to just give you some points. And you guys get good training here all the time. And I just want to kind of echo that and see if I can help us and just say it a little bit different way. So we want to develop a heart for ministry in children. Let me say, number one, seek their true salvation. Seek their true salvation. Don't you want your kids to be saved? I can't imagine when my kids go into hell. I just can't imagine. And so we beg and pray, you know, before our kids were, as soon as they were conceived in the womb, we begin praying for their salvation. Praying that they would receive the Lord, praying that they would accept the Lord, just over and over and over. And maybe you got saved later in life, but you just need to make it a prayer as often and as natural as breathing air. God save my kids. God save my kids. God save my grandchildren. We need to seek their true salvation. Let me say this, if your kids grow up in church, often they'll make a profession of faith, and that's wonderful. But I don't pray that my kids make a profession of faith. I pray they get saved. And so let me just tell you what I do, and I learned this from Pastor Ross and Pastor Jerry. I never tell someone they're saved. Daddy, am I saved? Oh, yeah, you're saved, remember? I don't say that. Daddy, am I saved? Well, you tell me. I don't know if you're saved. I've seen people, and I've been knocking on doors at houses, and you've been saved, and the mom will say, oh, yeah, he's saved. Really? Turn back to the teenage boy. So tell me when you got, oh, remember when you got saved? And I want to be like, shut up. Quiet. And the kid's looking at me like, yeah. And so we need to make sure they're true salvation. I never tell someone they're saved, and I never tell someone they're lost. That's between them and the Lord. I can tell them the gospel. I can tell them what the Bible says. About a year ago, one of my daughters came to me and says, "Daddy, I'm just not sure I'm saved. Am I saved?" And I said, "Well, I can't tell you. You need to search your heart." And we began searching her heart and praying. And "Daddy, I'm just not sure." Listen, if my kids need to make 20 professions of faith to get it right, that's okay with me. You might say, "Well, I just want them to do it once and over." I'm not going to tell my kid they're saved. We're going to teach the truth, but Lord willing, it will stick. And of course, we teach assurance. And so seek their true salvation. Let me say number two, create a spiritual environment. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. By the way, if your child's doubting their salvation, find out why. What's the problem? What are they stumbling over? Find out why. And then let me say this. Sometimes we'll have, as you're turning there, Ephesians chapter 6, sometimes we'll have a parent say, "Pastor, all this hell stuff's scaring my kids. I don't think you should be preaching about hell because you're scaring my children." Here's what I tell people. All you have to say is, "That's all right, honey. Just trust Jesus and you'll be okay." They're like, and you know what a 2-3-year-old will do? "Okay. Daddy, I'm scared. I don't want to go to hell." "Well, you just trust Jesus. You're going to be okay." "Okay." You know, they go off and play. But we'll have parents come and want me to change the scripture because their children are starting to fall under conviction. Don't remove the conviction. Just tell the truth. Just trust Jesus and you'll be okay. And constantly probe and ask and see if they're ready. So Ephesians chapter 6. Let's turn there. Hopefully that helps somebody. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 4. "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So we're talking about creating a spiritual environment. Nurture speaks of love. Admonition speaks of training and correction, and you have to have both. I've seen parents that say, "Oh, I'll never tell my kids no because I want them to know I love them." And you know what happens when your children grow up and you never tell them no? They despise you. They don't respect you. You can give them the world and they will hate you for it. Because children feel safe with boundaries. They might rebel against it. That's okay. You don't take down the fence just because your kids don't like the fence. It keeps them safe. And it provides safety for them. And so we've got to have love. Boy, tell your kids you love them every chance you get. Look them in the eye several times a day and just say, "I love you." Say it for no reason at all. "I love you. Daddy's so proud of you." Find any reason at all to brag on them. We find them doing things wrong, amen, and then we get on to them. Find them doing things right. You know what? I was across the room there, and I just saw you, and I want to tell you, that makes Daddy happy. Can I tell you a secret? Your children want to please you. But if they feel like they can't, they will stop trying. So here's what we do. Watch this. The goal is up here. I have high expectations, but I have a low level of acceptance. This is the same is true in ministry. We see a lot of churches, don't we? They say, "Well, we got to lower our expectations so people feel accepted." All that does is destroy the church. The goal is to be like Jesus, amen? I didn't set that standard. God did. And so that's unchangeable. But if you don't accept or love anybody unless they're like Jesus, we're in trouble. So what do? Here's the goal. Here's what we're all shooting for, but I love you where you're at. It's the same thing with our children. Here's what Daddy wants. Here's what Mommy wants. Here's what we're going for, but I love you right here. Acceptance is the greatest atmosphere for growth. Teach them how to make you happy. Makes Daddy happy when you tell the truth. Makes Mommy happy when you clean your room without being told. makes us happy when you do your chores and we don't have to fight over it and get on to you. And so create this spiritual environment. Nurture the positive side, but then you've got to have that admonition. You cannot be afraid to say, here's a line, if you cross it, this is what will happen. Not when I feel like it, not when I'm in a bad mood, not when I'm having a bad day, every single time. And so we create a spiritual environment. Let me say this. Focus on what they're becoming more than what they are doing. In the Bible, you see, in Romans chapter 12, we see a comparison made between confirmation and transformation. Confirmation is conforming to a mold. Transformation is being shaped from the inside out. Now watch this. My children will conform. They will. They're living in my house. They will. They're at that age where they will. But I'm also constantly monitoring their heart. Are they just fitting the mold, or are they truly becoming what God wants them to be? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we create this spiritual environment. So number one, seek their true salvation. Number two, create a spiritual environment for them to grow. Let me look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. If our children don't transform, there comes a day when they no longer have to conform. And what is on the inside comes out. And so our only hope is while we have them and we can keep them safe and conform, that hopefully they're being transformed as well. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. So this unfeigned faith. Let me say number 3. Live the same at church and home. Live the same at church and home. One of the most devastating things we can do to our children is to show them that you put on spirituality when you go to church and you take it off when you come home. Don't put praise the Lord in your mouth when you come to church and take it out when you get home and put in cuss words and crude talk. Don't come to church and open the Bible and then close it and don't open it again till Wednesday night. Be the same. Let's do our best to show our children that Jesus changes us every day, not just Sunday. He changed my life. And let me teach you parents a wonderful truth. Your parents don't, or your children don't need to see perfection. Because you're not perfect. Some parents are so afraid, oh no, you're not perfect. Your kids don't need to see perfection. They need to see sincerity. Daddy, if you blow it, if you lose your temper at home, don't be afraid to gather everybody together and say, listen, Daddy blew it. And I'm sorry, I should not have done that. Mama, if you make a mistake or you mishandle a situation, don't just sweep it under the rug, because it ain't going away in these minds. But you can say, look, Mama shouldn't have handled it that way. I sinned. Go even further. I don't know how many times I've got my children together and say, listen, Daddy shouldn't have acted that way. That doesn't make Jesus happy. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and let's pray for Daddy. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me of my sin. I pray that you'd help me to be a better daddy. pray that you'd help me to be a better husband and a good Christian. Help us to do right. Amen. And you know what they do? They learn that that's how it's done. And in their minds, they say, God's not expecting us to be perfect because none of us are. But they do learn to be sincere. And they learn to be real. One of the hardest things you teenagers have to deal with is hypocrisy. It makes no sense to you. And I understand this. I know this. It makes no sense. But you have to deal with this and learn. People aren't perfect, but they are sincere. And you have to learn that there's a lot more sincere Christians trying to do right than there are hypocrites trying to do wrong. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and He'll lead you through. So we live the same at church and home. Do what your pastor says. You get a lot of good preaching here. Just go home and live it. Don't on the way home have pastor for a snack. Well, let me tell you something. I know what pastor said, but you know what your kids are back there doing? Okay, Daddy, I'm learning how we handle authority. They don't say that. But when you and I tear down any authority, we tear down all authority. When we tear down someone else's authority, ultimately we're undermining our own. And then we get upset when they don't listen to us either. Don't let them criticize the teacher at school. Learn how to handle this. Live the same. Boy, if you just follow the preaching here from the pulpit, you'll be okay. You really will be okay. Praise the Lord for that. Here's a good one. Turn back to Psalm 112. Is this helping you? Hope it is. Psalm 112. Very simple and practical, but yet things that are good reminders. Psalm 112. Look at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Now look, let's see what happens. There's actually 7 benefits from fearing the Lord and delighting greatly in his commandments. But let's look at the first one. Verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Now watch this. This is so important. If we want to develop a heart of ministry in children, we have to delight in the commandments of God. Don't make church drudgery. We have to go to church. No, we get to go to church. We have to listen to preaching. Boy, instead of going home on the way home and thinking, well, here's this, and I'm not going to do this, and we just believe different at our house. Hey, boy, wasn't that a great message? Wasn't that a good truth? Pull something out of that and tell your kids, you know what? I never realized that about God. That's awesome. That is awesome. Your kids ought to be convinced that you love God. You'd rather be at church on Sunday than anywhere else. They never have to wonder, are we going? Are we going to Sunday school this week? My kids asked me a few times in a row, we going to church this week? Now, why in the world would you ask me that? Not only am I the pastor, but whether I was the pastor or not, I finally said, stop asking me that. Unless you're bleeding or throwing up or in the hospital, you're going to church every week. For the rest of your life. Okay. You know, but we delight in the, boy, we get to go soul-winning. We get to run the bus route. We get to, wasn't that a good special today, kids? Wasn't that a good, you know, you have testimonies at church. Ask your kids, hey, kids, here's my testimony tonight. Do you have a testimony you'd like to say? Have this effervescent spirit, this joy, this delight that comes with serving God. And our children catch that. But they also catch the cynicism. They catch the negativity. They catch the reluctance. So we delight in the commandments of God. Number one, seek their true salvation. Number two, create a spiritual environment at home. Number three, live the same at church and home. Number four, delight in the commandments of God. Number five, don't turn to it, but love the church. Love it. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. If you don't love church, you and Jesus are crossways. You're not on the same page. And let me tell you something. I love Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I love it. If I lived in this place, I'd be here Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning. I'd be in it all. Every time those doors would squeak, I'd want my family to be here because I love church. But more than that, I love this church. I love Curtis Corner Baptist Church. I love it. What a blessing. Let me say, you're in Psalms. Turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Boy, I like that. You want to develop a heart of ministry in children? Serve the Lord with gladness. Let me say, you ought to be serving the Lord. Find something to do. You guys got a lot going on around here, amen? And I guarantee you, as in most churches, there's a smaller percentage of people doing a larger percentage of the work. We need help. Pastor Jerry needs help. I promise if you came to him and said, Pastor, I just feel under conviction. I know I'm not doing what I ought to do. You know, I'm busy. I got things going on, but I can do something. What would you like me to do? Or maybe you have a specific burden for a certain ministry and say, Pastor, I'm just having a burden about this. I don't know how it would work out. I don't know if you could use me here. Tell the pastor your heart. Let him know you want to serve. But if you are serving, make sure it's with gladness. Run a bus route, but do it with a smile. Go soul winning, but do it with a smile. Teach a class, but do it with a smile. I don't know if you all have any grumpy Sunday school teachers. Nothing like having a Sunday school teacher and the kids come in. It's like, well. Well, that opening went a little long this morning, didn't it? I just don't have enough time to... I guess I'm going to have to cut. I'll figure it out. Let's pray. It's like, boy, the kids in there are thinking, this is awesome. I want to grow up and serve God. No. Do it with gladness. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but there's a window broken back there. And I was just sitting back there and saw it. And... Yeah, that's right. Let me say under this, serve the Lord together. If you got kids, do a ministry you can do together. Bus routes are awesome. Drag those babies out. You will open more doors if you got a little baby with you or some kids with you than if not. Would you open the door to this ugly mug or this ugly mug with a couple of beautiful children? Like, who in the world is, oh, those babies are so cute. You know, it opens doors. But plus, it helps them to learn. Nursing homes are awesome. Take your kids to the nursing homes. These elderly folks, they love children. And so find something to do where you can do it together. And, of course, a preacher can help you with that. Let me say next, and let me just give you these last ones very quickly because I just got a minute. Protect your children from church politics. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there were divisions and strife. Every church, the best of churches, I don't know anything going on, but I would wager to say this church from time to time has things going on. Keep your kids out of it. You will destroy them if you gripe and complain and gossip to your children about other people in the church. You will destroy them. They're not made to handle that. Let them be kids for crying out loud. Let them be kids. Better yet, get your heart right and start getting along with people. If you're not a part of the solution, then you're a part of the problem. And if you don't have anything to do with fixing a situation, close this thing, keep your eyes on Jesus, be a help to your pastor, and serve God. Amen. Well, that'll help you. Turn to Job chapter 1 as we finish. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. I didn't mean to sound mean there. Did I sound mean? I love you. I love you. It's this influence. I got these mean preachers that mentored me. I just don't know what to do about it. And yeah, that's your best life now. Preacher, what self-help message are you teaching tonight? Hell, bless God, hell. 10 reasons you're going to hell and how to change it. Point number one. People are like, so you got to go home and turn on the TV. It's like, All right, look at verse 5. We got to finish up here. Stop interrupting me. Job chapter 1, verse 5. And it was so when the days when their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continue. If you understand what Job was doing here, it was the children's responsibility to take care of these sacrifices. But Job would get up early every morning and he would sacrifice on behalf of his children. This would be the equivalent of us getting up and praying and begging God. Begging God. Here's my child-rearing philosophy in a nutshell. Obey God the best you can. And beg God to make up the difference. To preacher, how do I raise good kids? All I know to tell you is obey God the best you know how. And then beg God every single day to make up the difference for your faults and your failings. I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. And one thing I learned from my mom, we didn't have a lot of spiritual training and things, but she still to this day begs God that her kids turn out. We'd come in the room and she'd be laying there praying, tears running down her face, crying. She'd be begging God that her kids would turn out. She said, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do, but God, would you? I don't know about you, but that method's working pretty good for my family. You got a lot of good training. Believe it. Buy into it. Rely on it. But when it's all said and done, it's got to be God that makes up the difference. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'd bless this. Bless these dear people. Thank you for it. Lord, we pray for our children. Pray for these kids here in this room. And I pray that you'd just develop in them a heart for ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.